Foundation Podcast. It is Pastor Joe. I am excited to be back with you again for another episode. Now, this is going to be, this is episode 2 of Unpopular Opinion. It has been a while since I have done an Unpopular Opinion. As a matter of fact, I'm 90% sure whenever I did the first Unpopular Opinion, I was like, man, I want to do one of these once a week. And it has gone crazy, in America. Like, people have gone nuts. Can't even find toilet paper anymore. So, with that being said, man, I really wanted to bring you another episode of Unpopular Opinion. As a matter of fact, I know there's at least one person out there who really liked my unpopular opinion, so this one's for you. All right, guys, so my unpopular opinion today, I want to, like, some of it, like, I think for the unpopular opinion stuff, and I think I said it in the last podcast, but some of it will be some, I think, some deep, you know, spiritual concepts, and sometimes it's just going to be some lightheartedness. And this one right here, I kind of wanted to bring something lighthearted to the table, but being serious all at the same time. I wanted to talk about Christians and traffic violations. I know what you're thinking. No, you know what? No, I don't know what you're thinking. I'll get this out there in the front foremost. I believe that we're all hypocrites in one way or another, and this is going to be one of those ways in which me, myself, and I have been very hypocritical of. I used to drive around with a suspended license because years and years ago, I had just got out of high school. I was on my way back from, actually, I had just started college. I was on my way back from school one day in my old 1986 Ford F-100 Ranger Explorer. Man, I loved that truck. I got ripped off on that truck, though. My dad bought that truck for $100, gave it to my brother for free, and my brother sold it to me for $5. So, you know, it is what it is. I love him anyway, man. Me and my brother, he's easily one of my absolute best friends. But he got me on that one. But I'm on my way back, and I'm not paying attention. I'm coming up over these railroad tracks, and I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm just glad to be out of class for the day, and I see a cop coming down the other direction. And I look down and I'm like, oh no, I take my foot off the accelerator. It was too late. Spun around, got me. I had stopped working. I was going to school full time. So I didn't have any insurance. So he got me for speeding and no insurance. The cop was real nice. He was respectful. He did tell me that if I could go get insurance that day. I don't know, like, I'm not telling you this is what you should do. And I don't know how legal it is. I'm just giving you my anecdotal story here. And so he told me that if I went and got insurance that day and get it applied, then it, you know, they would get rid of the no insurance tag or the no insurance charge. Well, I didn't have the money to do that, and I didn't grow up in a rich family, so we didn't have money for me to just go open up a new policy. So I have to go to court. I get the fine, and I have to pay on it. Well, I'm working on paying this off. They set you up these payments, and I got the ticket paid off. But man, in the state of Texas, they get you with these surcharges. And thank the Lord, I think it was last year, they decided, the governor was like, no, we can't. These are practically unconstitutional. We're going to get rid of them. And he did. And there are probably some people listening who have had these surcharges who are super glad that they don't exist anymore. Because up until last year, I was still paying on these surcharges. And it's a continuing thing. It's almost like it never goes away, no matter how much I paid. And so because of that, I thought everything was fixed. I was driving around, and I get pulled over one day leaving from worship practice one night. I was taking a student home, and I get pulled over, and cop comes to my window, and he's like, license and registration. Well, guess what? I hand it to him. He's like, Mr. Fleeter, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car. We have a warrant for your arrest. And I was like, oh, are you serious right now? And he was like, yes, sir. And see, I believe in being, you know, respectful to the police. They're just there to do their job. They weren't there to try to, you know, mess me over and take advantage of me in any way. It was like, hey, we ran it. You've got a warrant. And I'm like, all right. I looked at the passenger. I asked my passenger, like, do you know how to drive a stick shift? Passenger was like, No. I looked at the cop and I was like, is it okay if I call my wife and have her come pick up my car so it doesn't have to be towed? And the officer was real cool about it. He said yes. And so they put me in the police car, and one of the officers stayed behind and waited for my wife to come. My wife picked up the car, took the student home. It's neither here nor there. I may have spent a night in jail. I'm not perfect, okay? But I have violated traffic laws in the past. Now, I try to live my life as an example. If you've listened to one of the previous podcasts where I was talking about being a witness, I try to be a witness even in my driving. And I'm not always perfect. I don't think anyone is ever perfect. But I do, in general, try to always follow traffic laws, which it tends to be incredibly annoying to people when I'm following traffic laws and they don't want to. And I find that funny. There's nothing I love more than when I'm passing somebody in the left-hand lane because they're going slow and I'm going the speed limit, and somebody comes running up on my tail end and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, ah, you're stuck, buddy. That's what you get for going 85 in a 75. Slow down. But the question I have is it biblical? Like, do you have to follow these minor traffic laws, even if you're not getting pulled over and being punished for it? And I think this is probably going to be one of the easiest example, like one of the easiest ones of the unpopular opinion that I come up with. And it will be unpopular because I know plenty of Christians who speed, who do a rolling stop, who will turn without indicating. Like, I've seen it. I'm not going to call any names out, but I've seen Christians who drive this way. And I think, I've seen Christians who weave in and out of traffic and cut other people off. I use the term advertising, but I like getting, maybe it's marketing, but getting like, getting recognition out there of like, hey, you know, our church, like we stand for this and we do this. And so I like t-shirts, I like stickers, like I, the car decals. And, you know, the church secretary up here, Mary, she was like, no. Her and Josh both had this philosophy of like, if we put our logo on something, somebody goes around driving and acting like an idiot, then they're going to associate that with our church. And they're 100% true. This is why you should be better than that, right? If you are going to represent Jesus Christ, which is what you do on a daily basis, like at the bare minimum, you're representing the church. At the maximum, you're representing Jesus Christ. And so you should always be ready and prepared to be that example, even if you're in a vehicle. Even if you're online with anonymity on Facebook or YouTube, or you're posting comments or whatever, like, you should still always be that example. Sometimes I'll see a text message and, oh man, I will immediately write like a 30 line text message to send back. And I'm like, all right, this is how I feel. And then I'll stop and I'll think about it for a second. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know what? I don't think this is how Jesus would handle this situation. So traffic laws. I think that if I'm going to have an opinion on whether or not that as a Christian, you should be obeying them, whether or not they're being enforced, you're going to have scripture. And I do understand that sometimes there are exceptions, like in the state of Texas, especially in the Dallas area, the speed limit is what, 65, 75? I think it's 75. I don't know. But I know it's around there. And I know that you can travel faster than that because by law, you have to travel the speed of the flow of traffic. And so, yes, if I'm in Dallas and I'm traveling, in order to maintain safety of all the other drivers, I maintain the speed of the traffic around me. Like I said, I'm not always perfect. Don't you go calling me out. You know who you are. I'm just kidding. I really do try not to speed. I try to follow traffic laws in like to a T, because I feel like if I'm going to be a follower of God, I should follow what the Word of God says. And since I'm going to mention the Word of God, I want to mention Romans chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment." So even if there's a leader in power, in place, and they've set rules that you don't like, you're still required to follow them. It's crazy to me because me being, you know, United States soldier, and like the mentality that we have is like, we'll fight an oppressive government, we'll overthrow it. But I don't, you know, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't come in and overthrow an oppressive government and, you know, rule over that. Jesus came and he lived under the law just like everybody else. He didn't go around breaking laws. As a matter of fact, when they wanted to punish him for breaking a law, they couldn't even find a law that he had broken, so they made stuff up. I mean, that's the reason. Yeah, it's not the reason why, but like in the physical, that's the reason why he was crucified. But in the spiritual, we know he was crucified because of you and I. But verse 2 says, therefore, who resists and sets himself or herself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Yes, I broke the law. I got sent to jail. That was the penalty due me. Now, I don't want to get into the whole spiel, but I don't think that jail is much of a punishment, especially after being there. The worst part about jail is the food. You know, I like to think that I may have it a little bit easy. I'm a fairly well-built guy. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm 200 to 210 pounds. I'm pretty muscular. Like, most people aren't going to mess with me in jail. I'm not worried about being the guy that's getting picked on. Even my jail cell guy and roommate, like, he was a pretty nice guy. We just sat there and we talked about Jesus while I was in there, which was kind of awkward. Me begin, you know, getting arrested and then going in there, reading a Bible and talking about Jesus. I was coming back from worship practice. I didn't know, I'll be fair, didn't know that there was a warrant out for my arrest. Apparently they'd sent it to an old address to let me know that my license was suspended and there was a warrant out for my address. I didn't know that until after I'd gotten pulled over at that point. Let me just tell you that first. But God is telling us that he appoints. Nothing happens. Nothing. And this scripture shows me that nothing happens in the physical world that God doesn't already know and set in order for us to work our way through. Now, that does mean that we are required to follow any law of the land. I know that's that you'll hear the law of the land, the law of the land. Like, the Bible says that you're supposed to follow the law of the land. And it does. That's what this scripture is referencing to, is that we are supposed to be subjected to the rulers of the land that we live in. You see, because this world isn't our world, and it's also not God's world. God is going to come back, destroy this world, and create a new one. Then we'll have a whole new set of, you know, authority, which is just God, and we won't have to worry about rules of man. Now, there's always exceptions to this. If there is a rule that defies God, then we, as children of God, should make a stand against that. We're exempt from having to follow the law of the land. It's like an order of operations in math. Like, it's follow the law of the land, but before that, follow God's law. And if there's a law of the land that breaks God's law, then God's law always supersedes or has more weight or is more important than the law of the land. So take, for instance, when Daniel was told that he had to worship the statue of the king, he said, King, I can't do that. I can only worship God. He had to, up to that point, he obeyed the law of the land, but he had to break the law of the land in order to obey what God had called him to do. Traffic violations are in no way going to send you to hell. Like, what I'm saying is, there is, like, you obeying traffic laws isn't against God's law. And I don't think breaking traffic laws are going to send you to hell. I've talked about it before. I don't think any individual action or what you do is something that will send you to hell, because just like being saved and being able to go to heaven, it's entirely based off of our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get into heaven. And because we believe in Jesus Christ, we follow Jesus's law. That's the same principle how I view the whole going to hell process is, well, it's one or the other. Either you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. It's what your heart is. And so, you know, I would say if you're out there always breaking traffic laws, maybe you should check your heart. Show up at church, get in the altars. We'll have an altar call for speeders right after the end of this video. You can just go, you can kneel down, and you can pray all by yourself. But guys, I want to thank you for listening to what I have for you. Like I said, unpopular opinion. You as a Christian are required to follow the traffic laws. It's ridiculous that you don't. Like, what you show me is a disregard to other human beings. And the Bible says that you're supposed to love others the way that you love. I mean, when the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus into, like, what's the greatest law? One of those two that he mentioned was love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, and if you're out there cutting people off or, you know, saying things that they can't hear, but they can definitely read your lips on, you're not loving them like you love yourself, right? So love them like you love yourself. Unpopular opinion. Pastor Joe here. Super excited to bring you an episode 2. Won't wait so long to bring you an episode 3. I love you guys. Be safe out there. Follow the traffic laws. God bless. See you next time.